What is going on? Bar Down Breakdown. And tonight, we're joined by our homies in Good Terms out in LA, holding it down. You're listening to their latest track, Old Friend, which just came out about like 2 or 3 weeks ago at this point. And it is just exactly my cup of tea. This is the type of pop punk that I am all about and super pumped to chat with you guys tonight. So how we doing, Zach and Geo? But I'm going to call you G-Bones because it says G-Bones.
G-Bones, baby. Crashing boards and power cords, baby. Let's go.
There we go.
We're doing very well. How about yourselves?
Not bad. I'm like running on fumes right now. I had a overnight trip with my fifth grade students the past, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Sunday drove 2.5 hours to Raleigh to watch the Islanders lose, and then drove home and didn't get home until midnight, and then taught today somehow. So we're doing it. We're in it.
We're getting it.
Yep. Nice.
So let's just jump into Old Friend. Like I said, it's only been out a couple of weeks now, and from my thorough research, it looks like you guys do a lot of your own producing and mixing and recording and stuff like that. Is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
So you guys did that all yourself, all DIY? And
we did.
Mixing and every, like, because I do know a lot of bands will, like, record and produce their own stuff, but then, like, still will send it out to mixing because that's like super complicated for a lot of bands. So you're even doing the mixing as well?
Yeah. The only thing we didn't do was mastering, which we sent to Mike Collision, who is like the modern goat of mastering. I feel like every album that I liked on my liked song Spotify playlist, I went through 10 masters in a row or 10 songs by 10 different artists. And I was like, oh, Mike mastered all of these. I only knew that just because I'm a nerd and I just whatever. But he seems like he's doing everything. And Geo, it makes great masters as well. But every time we send something back to him, I'm like, I listen to it, I'm like, this doesn't sound that different. And then I'll play it against Geo's and I'm like, oh yeah, it's, yeah, we got our money's worth. It sounds great. Which is no slight to Geo. Mike's just very good.
I can make them loud, but not good. For the most part.
Geo, it's great to hear you from under that bus that just hit you.
You know what's so funny? You know, my favorite part about this so far is like, yeah, you guys are like mixing all your own stuff. Like, that's hard to do. It's like complicated. And I'm the one with the like severely messed up audio. This is making a lot of sense. Yeah, go listen to our song, dude. I mixed it. I'm a professional audio man.
Geo and I were college roommates, and Geo studied production in college, and I went in like before going to college. I learned a lot about production and just, you know, enough, but I learned a lot just kind of like via being in the same room as him and him getting excited about a new, I don't know, plug-in, like getting the Waves crack and giving it to him and then watching him open up his computer with every single Waves plugin when we were 19 and just, you know.
To be fair, I've never pirated or cracked a plugin in my life. Everything that I use, I own completely. Waves, Isotope, FabFilter.
I promise they're not listening to this podcast.
They don't have any hockey fans over there.
We're not even a blip on their radar. Maybe we are. Who knows? We'll find out when
they
send you guys a cease and desist.
Yeah. Somebody from Waves is listening to this like, fuck these guys. I don't know if you guys saw this, but they just made like a subscription model for their plugs.
Oh, like Pro Tools?
Yes. Except it's like their Waves Ultimate bundle or whatever it's called, gold or something, and it's every plugin and it's $30 a month, and people were so mad that they just were like oh okay, yeah, sorry, well so they made it so like you could, if you had already bought a license, you still had to then resubscribe. So they were like, oh, if you will still make licenses, you can still buy it, but you can also subscribe, which is a fine option. But yeah, people were big mad about that. But hey, it's all right. We're out here.
Waves.
We're out here.
Yeah.
Cool. So I guess tell me about the response from the latest single and kind of I watched the video. The video is absolutely hysterical. So I guess kind of let's just dive into all things Old Friend.
Yeah, man. Where to begin? This is like we're just releasing a bunch of singles at the moment right now. All this will likely be on what will be LP2, or maybe it'll be an EP. I don't know, but it'll probably just end up being a full album. But before we kind of did a lot of hurry up and wait, like finish a bunch of songs, then properly record everything, then record all the drums, then edit all the drums, then get everything mix prepped, then give it to Geo to mix and whatever. And so this time we were like, dude, let's just like finish them and just put them out. And that's kind of how we've been doing it. It's just kind of have that cycle. And because we do everything ourselves, it's like easier to kind of, I don't know, split things up and get it done that way. So Old Friend is number two of that. I don't know if you guys have heard our song that came out before it, Drive-In. When we did these three songs, we've been doing like three at a time just because that's like how many we can knock out in a day of drums. We, you know, just rent a great studio that we've done the song from this session and the next one. We did at this place called King Size in LA. That's like, I don't know, it's my favorite drum room. I think it's Geo's as well. And he engineered that and crushed it. And our homie Brendan, we hired him to play drums on it. And he's an amazing engineer and like just all around just audio, great audio nerd. And drum nerd. So he has like a million options and we can shoot a bunch of stuff out and whatever. But in that first chunk of songs, Drive-In was kind of like our guitar player Ivan's song that he was like really leading, and he kind of wrote the riff and it was about his life. And the next one coming up is called Cough. That'll be out in like our singer Brian, because all of us are songwriters in the band, so each of us will just bring something that we're like leading on to the table, and then we'll finish it together. This one is my song, and so those lyrics are, I mean, I wrote them with my guys, but this is, you know, about my life and everything. So I'm sure we'll dive into that at some point, but yeah, Geo, you have anything to add?
Aside from that, not really. I mean, this was from a mixing standpoint, I'm trying to remember. I think this one kind of slotted into a good spot pretty early. This one was obviously very personal for Zach. So, you know, a lot of my time as a mixer is trying to please myself a lot of the time. It's kind of like a self-fulfilling job. And this one felt kind of nice for me because I got to really push this in a place where I was like, okay, I was really focused on, you know, making everybody really happy with this one and like everyone hype as hell for it. But yeah, I mean, this one, I feel like strange talking about this one because this is such like a Zach song, and this was like by far and away like the biggest like one person's story. Not that everyone can't relate to it, but this is like a hugely specific to Zach.
It's like he's like taking from like specific aspects of like what he's been through, and while everyone can relate to it, it's like oddly specific and personal to Zach, and you're trying to mix it in a way where you can kind of carry on the story that the instrumentals and lyrics have done, but also in a way that can kind of like, I don't know, can I use a Tom word? I'm trying to think of a big fancy thesaurus word, but I can't think of one. But put it all together where you can kind of like tell a story that, you know, Zach started, and you need to continue it through like the math, like the mixing of everything.
Yeah, like sonically, it felt kind of like this like huddle that we got to have with Zach. Like it was kind of like, you know, like allegorically speaking, like it did feel like Zach was telling us all this shit that he was going through with his dad, and we all got to be like, "You got it, brother." And that felt really nice. Like it felt nice to just kind of like, you know, be boys with our boy, and that's like a lot of good terms to me is that. So,
yeah, the. So one benefit of being able to handle a lot of this stuff, I mean, I'm sure you guys know this from a production standpoint, like when, you know, somebody makes an album, there's a lot of the same things can copy over, right? Like the same drum tones you're using and the same guitar tones, whatever, like you can kind of between songs, and then you'll dial things in, you know, however they see fit between the songs. And this was the second one that we mixed, Drive-In being the first. And if you listen to them back to back, they don't really, I don't think the, in the mastered versions, they sound that different, but the first mix was, Geo still killed it, but when it came back, it was very similar to Drive-In in like the tones that came over.
Yeah.
And I just had this like gut feeling of like, it just doesn't, and I never am like a speaking in like an ethereal way. I'm usually pretty like analytical. I was like, it just doesn't feel like sincere enough. And I didn't know what that meant. And it's kind of tough to, usually I'm the one like on the other side kind of critiquing that and chasing, you know, something else. And it's weird to be in the more artist seat on this one and like being like, okay, this does sound objectively good, but it just doesn't. So there's a lot of things that we did from that standpoint to like, I don't know, give it more of whatever that feeling is. I think we clear, you know, just backed away some of the aggression in some spots. And
yeah,
there's a, you know, variety of nerd shit that we can dig into, but I didn't answer you before when you're saying, how's the reaction? And I think all of our songs have been really personal, and have been, you know, about like chasing some type of catharsis in the lyrics. But this is like the first one that it feels like, oh, like this is hitting a little different. Which, I mean, I didn't write it necessarily. I wrote it for myself. I wrote it just because I needed to like get this shit out.
Yeah.
But it's cool that, I mean, it's unfortunate that so many people relate to this kind of thing, but it's just like a fact, you know, you people have struggles with like lifelong friends or family members or, you know, whatever. Mine in particular in this was with my dad, but it was also with my mom and with pretty much my entire family. We didn't talk for like 2 years because of like a conflict that I had with my mom. I actually wrote this before the pandemic, or I wrote some of it, and it's kind of just like lingered around and I didn't know how to finish it. And we had like a massive fight that was like, it was about something serious, but the fact that it like hung around with this so much long. Animosity yeah for so long was just so dumb. And that was like a huge learned lesson, I think, on both of our parts, but certainly on my part, of just like, dude, like, this is your fucking family. Like, you don't get another one. And it's not like my family and I are just like, we're okay. Like, they're literally my favorite people. Like, my dad is my best friend. And I mean, that's where like old friend comes from. And I had parts of this at down, and there's like some political things and there's some, you know, life things, career, those types of things. And that, you know, the first two verses of the song like really address, and the whole second part of it is in the third verse, and the bridge is me, you know, me explaining like, can we put this shit aside? Like, it's not that it's not important, but can I just show you my songs? Can we just jam out and drive around and listen to music? Cause that's what we do every time I was home. It's also tough, like COVID, the instability of that, the instability of like not being around my parents, and just like all this buildup of those two things on top of each other and just missing them. And after a while, like the feeling of missing them was just way more painful than, you know, whatever disagreement we had.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it was a brutal thing, but I think in a lot of ways I had to go through, you know, some like really tough battles with myself, and like, you know, a lot of time in therapy, like really change, like rewiring things. And I think I'm definitely better for it, that like the way that something maybe now would have bothered me or would have really set me off, now I kind of feel like I have the tools to deal with that. I mean, it isn't like our, you know, our disagreement is fully over or anything, but I feel like now there's at least an ability to like communicate and be like, hey man, because before it just used to get, everything used to get so flammable, and it used to just be like, oh, such and such thing, fuck you. And you know, it's like, that's not really the people that we are. Like,
yeah,
parents are like very like intelligent, reasonable people. And they're also just like fun. Like every time my dad would come to college, like my friends want to see him more than I do at times. Like, yeah. And, you know, he's the fucking man. So it's, yeah, like it's just a difficult thing. And I guess, you know, a lot of people are going through the same thing, which is a bummer, but I'm happy that we can, you know, provide something to connect with and get people through it. Brian, our singer, he was saying that one of his childhood best friends texted him and was like, hey man, I don't even think he knew it. He was just like, hey, my dad passed away like last month and I've been using your song totally as a crutch because we had like beef over, you know, a variety of things. And now I just listen to this and I don't think about the beef. I just think about how much I miss him. And that like really, really hurt me. I was like, dude, cause that could have been me, man. Like that could have been, you know, it could have been like, I can't call and talk to him about the Giants or something because like we had some dumb beef, like my favorite person's gone. It's just, you know, I think it's just a reminder to like cherish the people and the things that are important to you and be appreciative of those things and not let the small stuff get in the way. Even if the small stuff seems really big, and it is big in some ways, but like who you voted for or what somebody thinks you should do with your career or something like that, like
trivial.
Yeah, in the grand scheme of like somebody's like involvement in your life and how much you love them, like it's pretty minuscule. And like if you can't look past those things, it doesn't mean they're like, you know, they're right or you're whatever. It's like you just got to find a way to establish some quality communication. And now we can like we can be like, all right, cool. Like we don't agree, and that's all good. And like that tone that I just used saying that, like that's the feeling. It's like I'm not worked up, I'm calm, we can still talk about things. And like the more that everybody does that, I found it's like we're all a lot similar than we think. And I think, you know, I don't want to get all conspiracy on this, but like the powers that be are trying to make us seem further apart than we really are. I think we all probably want a lot of the same things, maybe in different ways, and we don't know it. But the more that we just like calmly talk, you know, and share our feelings, those things I have found personally get resolved. Or at least like cooled down pretty effectively. But yeah, I feel like I just rambled for 10 minutes and I don't know. I'll give you guys space to ask question or Gio say something.
Catch good terms at the next show at the United Nations.
TED Talk, youtube.com/TED Talk.
No, but it's true though. Like I feel like, especially with kind of like everything that's been going on in the last 3 years, a lot of people have kind of drifted away from these relationships that we used to have, you know, albeit, you know, father, son, mother, daughter, mother, son, siblings, cousins, uncles, even best friends. Like you kind of see this occurring thing. And while not a lot of people are kind of very like vocal about it, or they kind of like, it's a very taboo subject to kind of talk about. Because a lot of people think that like, oh, like, you know, they're going to get kind of like either looked down upon by their friends or something. If they're not like, you know, I was like, there's a joke on Shorzy where he was just like, they haven't even called their moms yet. Like they just got off a plane and they haven't even called their parents. Like what's going on? It's that same kind of aspect where it's like, well, no, like this is the situation that I'm going through right now with my parents or with like my family members. And it's hard to kind of convey that. So the way you guys did it through like an artistic venture, you're able to have all these people connect to it because they're just listening to a song and being like, oh fuck, like you guys are going through the same thing I'm going through, and there's probably more people that are going through it, so it's not as uncommon as we think.
Yeah, I mean the only song that I had heard similarly to it, and it was in a not like directly inspired, but was the song 19 by Movements.
Yep.
And I remember I mean our whole first album is it's written by all of us, but a lot of that was about, you know, is these specific songs like Hamster Wheel or Wither Away, like though we all related on a lot of the same topics, but especially Wither Away was just about, you know, my life and hating the way that my life was going. And I had a, you know, desk job that I thought I wanted, and my parents pushed me super hard into having that, and it made me so fucking miserable. Unhappy. And I mean, and it was a, I worked at a record label, like it was a music job, and I think had it been at like an Epitaph or somebody that I, you know, would have dreamed of like working with and, you know, like doing marketing for like Bring Me the Horizon or something, like I would have probably been happier, but I probably would have just been like a larger band-aid on the situation to realize I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Like, this is not what you want to do. And so in some ways I'm like grateful for that. And like the place I worked was cool. It was like a totally ethical experience, which as I'm sure you both know from the music industry is not
the case all the time.
It just made me sad to be there. And I didn't know that going in. I wish I did, but I think like I was never the rebellious teen, you know, like the fuck you mom and dad thing. Like I said, my parents are fucking sick. So like they were like, oh man, like you haven't smoked weed yet. Like you should try, like you probably like it. Like it's pretty sick. Or like, hey, like all your friends, you guys jamming out in high school. Like my house was like the jam spot in high school. And they would always come down and be like, my dad would be like, hey guys, like, you know, I know you're not going anywhere. Like,
you want a beer?
You want a beer? And, you know, and we were all like, dude, no, like, we're straight edge, dad. Like, oh, fuck. Like, we don't want a beer, weirdo, you know? It's like a difference. So like, that shit was always available to me. So I didn't care. It, like, you know, Gio had a similar thing too. It was like music was that for me. And that, I think, was the rebellious thing that I had in my early 20s of being like, oh, hey, like, you know, especially going to like an art school and seeing all these people be like, you know, have like the, you know, the crunchy granola, the
stereotypical pants. Yeah.
Yeah. Which like in some ways, you know, I don't wish I had that, but there's some, they immediately just get the thing. Or like one of my friends, or both of our friends, our friend Aubrey, she works on the business side of the industry, but her dad is a great musician, and he is like a keys player and an arranger. And he did a bunch of work on the Daft Punk Random Access Memories album, and like among a million other things. So like she's like a daughter of a musician, and kind of I just had more like, again, I don't wish I had that necessarily. Like I'm grateful for my upbringing, but it was just different to see somebody else with that perspective, because I grew up in suburban Virginia. Like there's no one really that's like doing real shit in music or in film or in some creative venture that's like, you know, that's involved in an industry in that way. And I don't think they had that perspective, and I didn't have that other thing. So I think there's a lot of shit stemmed up in that of like, I remember when I quit my job, like that was not something they were stoked about. And yeah, just a lot of buildup from all of that shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's tough. I don't remember what got me on this run.
We're talking about the reaction for
I'm just good cooking friend. Right now.
Old friend of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get me spinning yarn, I'm just going to keep going.
So I was actually going to ask. So because I was looking over. You know, you put the song out a couple weeks ago. You know, it's about to break. You know, 10K probably in the next few days. But I think the most interesting part of your Spotify, and I don't know if you guys looked at this or not, but have you looked at your fans also? Like, I think it is the coolest conglomeration of musicians that I've ever seen in my life.
Let's hear it.
It changes pretty frequently.
Korn.
What?
Number one is Korn.
No, it's not.
100%. I had to look at my phone too, just to make sure.
It is.
Number two is Fall Out Boy.
Okay, that checks out.
Number three is Alkaline Trio. And then number four is Spanish Love Songs.
Is it really that?
100%. Yes. I looked at it and I was Korn? Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, why is Korn? Hold on.
This is a glitch.
No, Justin just has been listening and doing a lot of research, and Justin's also a huge Korn fan.
He's just been going back and forth and fucking up our algorithm.
I've just been listening to you guys on repeat since I found out that we were going to have you on the podcast, and you're just now Korn's on your top artist now.
Okay, this is really weird and concerning, and thank you for bringing this to my attention, because something's really wrong. Because the last time I checked, it was like, action adventure, Brooklane.
Yeah, like
this. Let me say, there's got to.
But I think these four bands, I would take a screenshot of this, and I would 100% put this all over your social media, because this is the stuff of legends. You have obviously Korn, and then you have
hilarious
Chicago favorites, Fall Out Boy and Alkaline Trio, and then you have the saddest band ever in existence with Spanish Love Songs.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
I really want to know who this R band is, though.
This is really weird.
I gotta go check them out.
With 77 monthly listeners, R band and new band.
Yeah.
Yes. And there's only
what is happening? What is truly
this is very concerning, and I need to
wait. So then you go to R band, not like out of time, but you go to the band called R band.
Their
top band. So they look like they belong on like Home Goods. Or like
Anthrax,
Anthrax, Testament, Slayer, Black Sabbath, Pantera, Priest, and Motorhead.
Something is wrong.
I think the algorithm's all messed up today, but this is great content.
Okay, all right. This is the bio for our band. Steeped in the tradition of great male and female duets such as Johnny Cash and June Carter. I don't think that has anything to do with Alice Cooper, Testament, and Anthrax. Do you?
Hey, Gio, be careful, man. There might be some R band stands listening to this podcast. They're going to be getting mad at you. Never know, man.
Hey,
I was so down for like folk metal, like thrash metal folk two person band. She's just doing the gnarly vocals.
Oh man, I knew this was going to be bad. There was a the ballad, the indie ballad from our previous album, Useless Things, got added to some bullshit playlist that had like five songs and no followers and got like 2,000 streams a day for a week. And I bet you it's probably some.
It's a bot.
I work so hard, man. I work so hard to get this Spotify algorithm cooking for me, and
we got botted.
All right,
it happens, dude.
I just want to say, our band. I went to their Instagram, and they rip an accordion.
Oh man,
they're accordion rock. So if you go to the other band, new band, they don't have what was that band called? Is it Jude of the Lion?
Yeah.
They have a band called Lion of Judah.
Lion of Judah.
Oh my God.
Okay. So sorry I sent you guys on a whole rabbit chase right now to fix your algorithm on Spotify.
My anxiety is peaking right now. I think something's like severely wrong, but
this is a great time for an ad read. I'll deal with that later.
Yeah, go ahead.
So yeah, let's just change topics a little bit and just kind of jump into the origination of Good Terms, because you mentioned how you guys are out in LA now, but that's not where you're from originally. Gio, I know you're from Cape Cod, which I definitely want to jump into the music scene out in Cape Cod, but
yeah, dude.
I guess most of you grew up in like the Northern Virginia area, or you guys kind of met in college and that's where you guys all became friends, or
Zach and I met in college on our second day. Nice. I believe it was a peer advisory group.
Yep.
And he was walking down the staircase and I saw that he had, please correct me if I'm wrong, an Amorosa shirt on.
Yep, that's correct.
Cool. Saw him with an Amorosa shirt on and I said, hey man, I love Amorosa. And then he looked at me with the cutest twinkles in his eye. And we've been talking most days ever since. And that was maybe 10 years ago.
Yep.
Isn't that how it always works? So like my wife walked into my college apartment wearing a Say Anything shirt. And I was just like,
my God, that's a keeper.
I was just like, this is going to be my wife. And long story
short, what was the Say Anything shirt? What
it was like the one with the T-Rex on it. where it's like, kind of like a Godzilla T-Rex.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, all right, Mikey, so... I have the great date idea for you and your wife.
You want to know what our first date was?
Was it going to see Say Anything with John Cusack in Orlando?
No, what? It was.
Yeah, because that's absolutely happening.
What do you mean with John Cusack?
Lying show.
Like, so I think I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it's so in Orlando at the Enzion, and I better.
Oh, the movie. Yes.
Yeah, the movie Say Anything. John Cusack's doing a screening of Say Anything and a Q&A for like a small group of people, and the tickets are like $100. I'm 100% going.
It all makes sense. I was like, wait, is like awesome. John Cusack one of those like weird actors who wishes he was a musician on some Johnny Depp shit? Oh, he okay,
100% is.
And that's he's just. I was like, oh, maybe he's like being a sideman for Max Bemis, and I just don't know about it.
No, Max Bemis just loves that movie.
makes sense.
Makes sense.
All right, let's get back on topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one thing to edit in Gio's story and a misremembering. I was wearing an Amorosa shirt, which is so funny that you
remember.
It was
red.
That.
It was dark red, and the graphic was black.
You remember?
Is it Johnny Craig Amorosa
or Bradley? Yeah. No, yeah, this was
10 years ago. Was good,
yeah, this was Johnny.
Yeah.
And I, so in our peer advising group, there was some girl or Gio's cousin went to high school with somebody that was also, it was the B group of last name. So this is this dude, Seth Bella, B-E, yes. Gio's B-O, I'm B-O, whatever. Yes. And Seth, and they had a crazy connection in the class. They're like, oh my God, you're the person who knows my cousin. And they're finally meeting. And I was just looking at this kid with his fucking dumb, wavy, super long hair and his like super tight skinny jeans. And then it's like shitty, high top, like neon blue dunks. And it's like, also, what is his name? His name is Gio. Ugh, fucking hate this kid already. And he also looked like this kid that went to my high school, like spitting image of this kid in my high school. And I was like, oh God, he's just like him. And I hated this kid in my high school. And I don't even know if I ever told you this. And then I'm like,
that's
and they're and Gio's like, oh shit, you're the totally interrupting the peer advising group, like freaking out. And I was like, oh God, okay. And then we're leaving the class and I hear the two of them talking, and he's like listening off bands that he likes. And he was like, oh, do you know like such and such, oh, do you know Four Year Strong is my favorite band. And this kid didn't know any of the bands, and we later became friends with Seth. But and I just remember turning around and being like, dude, that 4 Year is actually also one of my favorite bands. And then he was like, oh, you know. And then that was the beginning. And then we had a delicious lunch in the cafeteria. It was not delicious, but we had a lunch in the cafeteria, realized our dorms were two doors away from each other, Club 504, baby. And that was that. History ever since.
That was all news. So that was all news to me, everybody. didn't know I was painted that way.
I didn't know I was painted that way.
Yeah. But
this is also frail Gio, pre tattoos, pre muscles. It's a totally different look.
Can we also talk about, so for the listeners who can't watch this right now, they look like they're in the same house too. Like, I'm just waiting for Gio to get up, go through that closed door, and just come in through Zach's screen, because even like the paint, the wall in their color, house, yeah, the wall color looks almost identical, and so do almost the doors too. So
yeah, Zach likes to, like, you know, he talks shit, he roasted me, he's dragging me on this podcast. Copies everything I do, this guy. You know?
I do.
Maybe today he's got the better audio, but most of the time he's just holding on for dear life from those coattails of mine.
Yes, that is a total fact.
Yeah, I'm canceling our dinner after this. I'm so hurt.
I'm canceling our dinner.
So, but yeah, sorry. Going back to your actual question before I side-railed this. Or sidetrack this. I'm refocused.
Center.
Yes.
Center.
The other guys in the band, I've known Ivan since we were in middle school. And then Brian, our singer, I've known since this random summer camp that I was a camp counselor for, and he was a student at. That this is one of those like looks good on your college resume. It was like a music summer camp thing. And he came in there, and I was like the counselor. I was like 16. I thought I was like hot shit. And here comes this 13-year-old who's better than guitar at me. I was like, oh God, I got to go practice. And I've just known him ever since. And then I knew he loved Fall Out Boy. That was his favorite band. But we were like friends. We played in this like shitty band for a second after the camp. It was him being the bass player with a bunch of other camp counselors. The band didn't last very long, but I've remained in touch with him ever since. And then he went to college with us, and he was a freshman when we were seniors. And so we only had a little overlap, but Gio and I played in a wedding band in college, and he replaced my role in the wedding band as the guitar player. And then I moved out of my house in Boston to move to LA, and he moved into my room in that house. And then I moved out to LA. He moved into my other roommate at the time, two Brians, moved into his room when Brian was on tour, and he subletted. And then I was just beginning the early Good Terms demos, and was like, dude, I know you can sing and you fuck with this genre. And he wasn't really, I don't think, trying to do this type of music at the time. And I was like, could you just like demo some vocals for me? And he demoed our song All I Can. And those are the vocals that are on the recording that's out. Because I was like, oh, okay, well, clearly you're the singer of this band if you want to be. And he did. And yeah. And it's history ever since. And so it's, and I think, since then things have fallen into place, however they were supposed to, but it's just really nice to be in a band with a bunch of best friends who, all are in this for the same reason and love each other. And yeah.
And shout out to Brian too, for being the first chair guitar for the All-State Jazz Band in Virginia in 2013.
Let me tell you.
How the hell did you just figure that out?
That's fucking right, man.
I pulled up his Instagram.
What an unbelievable thing to say.
That is literally like the most. Once you said he was better at guitar than you, I'm like, hold on, let me pull him up really quick.
That's line one on the resume, right there.
Line one on the resume. All state, 10 years ago, Virginia Jazz Band.
Wow, good for him.
Oh my God. Wait, is this on his Instagram?
Yeah, you guys are learning so much about each other in this.
No, we really are.
30 minutes,
and it's all right in front of our face too.
That you've never known before.
I prefer to stay in the dark with certain things, I think,
So
how have I never seen this?
So we kind of got like a super weird history of the band at this point so far. But what's it like having, because you guys are about three guitars and a bass player, no drummer yet, or you have a fill-in drummer or a current drummer that you haven't announced yet. How's it like, kind of like, I don't think I've ever been in a band with like three guitars. How's it like with kind of like layering harmonies and rhythms and everything else with that?
Well, live we have three guitars. On the first record, we only had two. This actually, Old Friend was the first song that we wrote that we were like, This wasn't finished for it. It sat around for a while. We finished it, like end of last year. But when we first started making it, this was like, kind of on the heels of the first album. Ivan used to not live in LA. The band was formed because everybody really kind of co-wrote all these songs with me. And it would be like, I was just trying to start this band. And as much as I could involve Gio and I, kind of each of these songs kind of did like this pop method for all of them, and did like, okay, let me just, I know about co-writing, like I've done that in a different way, like let me just do that in a kind of rock way. And I wish I was a drummer. I wish I had the skills of a drummer, but in my head I am. So all of our drum parts, I just write them, and at least on a song that I'm starting. Ivan is a great drummer too. Gio is an insanely sick producer and can do just as much as I can with, on a drum front. It just worked out that for that time I just had done it. And so it didn't feel like we really needed that, I guess. And it was like, Ivan's an amazing songwriter. I'll just co-write some songs with him. We didn't have a singer yet. Once Brian came into the fold, it was like, oh, then we started having this three-way, like Ivan, Brian, and I would, write a riff or whatever. And we didn't really split things up. Like, we'd be like, this is the lead part. This is the rhythm part. This is like the auxiliary part or something.
Yeah.
Like envisioning like, oh, it'll be two guitars live, whatever. And then it wasn't until things started coming out. Ivan used to not live in LA. Now he does. That when this is one of the first songs we wrote together once we did. And I kind of was like, okay, yeah, Brian, you just won't play guitar live probably and we'll just play with two guitars or something. And then he was like, I kind of have this part. And then Ivan started doing that little like funk, like indie 1975 part in this song. And we were like, oh, we can do three guitars. Oh, okay. Cause I tried to limit myself to just doing two things.
Yeah.
And I think no one really has, there's no, like, I've heard like the Wonder Years talk about this, that everyone has like a, it's like an unlearning process of them being like everyone having to like serve the song. And, you know, this is like them being kids and getting older into the extremely good band that they are now and have always been, but like maybe not as mature. These are their words, not mine, but them trying to be like, oh, well, this is my part. Fuck you. We don't really have that. Like, I was just working on a song earlier today that Ivan had a new part for. And the one that was there, I was like, oh, that's just a better lead part. Like, he didn't write anything for this specific song yet other than this idea for the lead part. I was like, oh, I'll just delete the one from before and
throw
the new one on. So I think everyone just really cares about the song being the best. And I just realized that, like, I prefer to play rhythm parts live. And I would just rather play stuff that's heavy that I can just headbang to. And Ivan really cares about tone, and he really wants to, you know, have like these finesse parts and have, you know, like kind of sit with and be really expressive. And I just want to go chugga chugga. And Brian, I think also he loves playing guitar and is definitely the best guitar player in the band, but he's also an elite singer. And would just, I think he's like, yeah, man, sometimes just not having a guitar while I'm singing is more fun. And he's also a great front man. So I don't know. We're kind of just going with the flow. And if something calls for three guitars, like our jump arrangement, when we play that live, we play that with three. But
yeah,
if like the song just all of a sudden falls into our lap and we're like, oh, Ivan has this great third part, then cool, let's do it. We haven't played with tracks, but if there's any point that we just decide like, yeah, this third guitar part is only really happens in one part of the song, let's just put it in tracks. Like, we're not against doing that. So it kind of is just like a case per case basis. But I think the main answer is just trying to like take the ego aside and just do what we think is objectively the best thing for the song.
Yeah.
Gio also loves all of the guitarmony in the band and definitely doesn't ever just completely bury the lead guitar in the mix.
Now the question about three guitars, mixing three guitars sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I know you guys like talked about it really quick, and I wanted to bring it up. Are you guys huge like Van Halen fans?
Yeah. Yes.
So Hagar or Diamond Dave?
Oh, dude. It's Dave, baby. Dave's, I mean, he seems like a nut job. He is a nut job, I think.
Yeah.
My first concert ever was actually with Sammy, though. And it was really good. It was really good. I feel like Sammy's kind of like the healthy, good, like chill, cool guy that like helps it keep going. But Dave is...
Yeah,
it's like a Tom DeLonge thing. It's like, yeah, Skiba seems like a more adjusted human being, but like,
you
dude, it's Tom. It's Tom. Yeah. Like, you need Tom, you know? Yeah. One of our friends just played a festival, and he had a mutual friend with Tom, and he got introduced to Tom, and he said it was not a favorable experience. And I'm like, you know what, man?
It doesn't need to be.
I was like, I bet it was. And does that affect me in listening to Blink at all? No, because I expect that dude is a total loon, and you know what? That's okay.
Touché.
Like, that's why it's interesting, right?
Absolutely.
But yes, Dave is my answer.
Cool. So I do want to jump into some hockey talk, and then we can kind of circle back and bring it all together. It's more good terms talk. But before we dive into some hockey, I do have to tell you about our homies at DraftKings. So ready for the underdogs, the upsets, and the unbelievable action from DraftKings Sportsbook. The biggest tournament in college basketball is right here Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on College Hoops and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all customers can score a no-sweat bet during round one and two of the tournament. Go to the app, opt in, and place a no-sweat bet this weekend. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. So throw down some money on Hofstra University. I'm hearing that they might be in the tournament. Probably not, but that's probably my only college basketball team I know. So head over to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with promo code THPN. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Win or lose, only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Really don't know where I was going with that Hofstra basketball reference, but none of you probably even know where Hofstra is, but that's our only D1 college team on Long Island. Maybe there's, I guess, technically St. John's is also on Long Island, but that's pretty much it.
We're not a basketball podcast. We're a hockey podcast. Yeah,
not a basketball podcast. And pretty sure that we've already kind of discovered that the tournament ends today as we're recording this.
Oh, good. That's all right. DraftKings still got to pay.
DraftKings. Yep.
What we do get to talk about is how the President's Trophy curse is going to carry on to the Boston Bruins.
Oh no. So yeah, you have to. So let me. I'm gonna come out with my knowledge of hockey. I played Cape Cod. There's not a whole lot to do. Freeze your ass off.
Go whale really watching.
So funny. I've never been whale watching in my entire life. Now, my big hockey days were like all centered around Ray Bourque.
Okay.
77. Those are my golden years there. And obviously heartbroken when the only Stanley Cup he won was with Colorado. That's a sad time. But listen, if we want to talk about that era, NHL 2001, I'm here. But I don't know. I'm like, y'all have to fill me in with how the Bees are doing. I know they're doing well, but what's going on? They're killing it.
They just clutched the President's Trophy.
They have the best record, don't they?
They have.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. They have the best record in the league right now.
And it truthfully, like, a lot of people were kind of writing off Boston. Like, they were, like, saying, like, this might be a decline year for them. And yet, they've just totally just poo-pooed on everyone that was doubting them and have really strung it together. And they're looking... I think they've only lost like 7 or 8 games this whole entire season.
Wild.
Which is just wild.
12. They've lost 12 games with 12 overtime losses.
Is that not like not a record? That sounds 60 wins? Wow. That's insane.
Yeah. Losing 12 times and like we only have like 5 games left, maybe 6 games left of the season, which is pretty wild to think.
Yeah. Jeez. And they've already clinched too, so they don't have to worry about anything.
That President's Trophy curse, though, is kind of a real thing. Like, I don't know if I would want to win the President's Trophy.
Like, well, tell me about the curse. Tell me about the curse.
So every team since the Blackhawks in 2010, and I could be wrong, I think the only teams that have escaped it have been the Red Wings and the Blackhawks. Been the only two teams to win the President's Trophy and win the Stanley Cup. In recent, like in the last 30 years. But every team who has won the President's Trophy has either been eliminated in the first round or very swiftly in the second round. So the Washington Capitals, they won the President's Trophy, destroyed.
And they got swept,
Tampa Bay Lightning, we won the President's Trophy, we got swept by the Blue Jackets.
Oh, then Bruins in 2019, I'm seeing.
Yeah, the Bruins in 2019 destroyed.
Avalanche in 2020. Oh, man.
Avalanche. There was another one, too, recently.
Panthers.
The Panthers.
The Panthers.
Oh. Yep.
This is crazy.
So yep. it's one of those things where, yeah, you can flaunt about the great record. Get out of the first round first of playoffs if you do.
So my Caps fandom was most flourishing in that era, as they just, I think after they won, I was like, okay, we're good. I don't expect them to win again soon. I mean, they got crushed in the first round of the playoffs the next year, but you know, I was like, all right, cool. Like, I got one. We're good. And I think I'm just like chilled out a little bit, but it always just felt like trying to get them to climb over that same fucking mountain with Pittsburgh every year. Mm-hmm. And then they finally did. But yeah, I'm looking at this now that two of those years that they won the President's Trophy, they lost to Pittsburgh. I didn't know the significance of the curse, but
so
yeah.
The Capitals, it was so bad for a period of time that the Verizon Center would invite fans to do yoga sessions in the morning.
Oh my God.
Because of how stressful the playoffs were. And
dude, my uncle, he probably went to one of those. Most of my family still lives in Northern Virginia, and he's like the biggest. It's also like, if you're a DC sports fan, they're pretty much all you got. I mean, the Nats figured it out like later, but they didn't have the same. There, people like the Nats now, but like they became a team when I was in elementary school.
Yeah, they were and built just on the back of Bryce Harper, and then the minute Bryce Harper got left, they won the World Series.
But you know, and also everyone is Washington Commanders. Somehow they made the name worse. At least it's not racist, but it is somehow worse. Yeah. They're, you know, an abysmal thing. And
at least you're not the Guardians.
I don't know. I think that was okay. It's like, at least with that, they were like, all right, hey, the mascot's gonna go away. The name's crazy, but we're gonna rock with the name for like 2 years until we figure out a name. Washington was just like, yeah, we're gonna be the Washington football team for 2 years. And it'll be a thing where like you're like racist uncle, they're still gonna call us the Washington Redskins for sure. But like, but right now, like to everybody else, we're the Washington football team. So your uncle, though, but when he goes to like a restaurant, he's still gonna know, and he's gonna be like, oh hey, can you put the Washington football team game on the screen? True story.
Anyway,
going full circle with old friend, baby.
So our singer and out of time, Mike, he's a big DC sports fan, like big DC sports fan. And those 2 years, and actually the singer of Brave Weather too, Mikey Christian, he's also a big DC sports fan. He's from the area.
Oh, I didn't.
So every time that they got together, I would always be like, oh, hey, check out the football fans. For 2 years, that's all I would call them, the football fans. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, you're football fans for the Washington football team.
I kind of liked it, man. I liked it because I'm not a fan and it's like so shitty that I thought it was funny. But the Caps, man, the Caps were all that. It was like the only bit of hope that it was like, because the Wizards had those couple good years with like John Wall, but that ended quickly. I was like all in on those years. And dude, but like all my life, like the Caps were like the heartbreaking team where it was like, they were always in the mix and they always lost to the second round. And it was usually to Pittsburgh. Yep. And I don't know what it is about Northern Virginia, but bro, like there are so many Pittsburgh fans. Like there was just as many Steelers jerseys at my high school than there was like pretty much any other team. And so it just didn't, it felt like, oh yeah, okay. These like, they weren't even the enemy because there was just, I mean, they were, but there were just so many of them around. It's very weird. Strange phenomenon.
How old are you guys?
I'm 30.
Okay. So yeah, you guys are pretty much around the same kind of like age that you're a little bit younger than I am. But you also had to think there was a very popular song that came out that put the Steelers on the map by Wiz Khalifa.
Oh Black of course. And Yellow, baby.
Oh, 2010, and, baby.
Yeah. So when Black and Yellow came out, like a lot of people just started rocking Steelers jerseys.
Oh no, I graduated 2010. This is much before this.
Oh yeah. And then the terrible towel. Anytime I see the terrible towel, it just makes me shiver. But I just like
think like in hockey teams. Though, like Sidney Crosby really, you know, when we were I was probably a little too old to like really appreciate Sidney Crosby, but I guarantee if I was like 10 years old when he came into the league, I would be a huge Sidney Crosby fan.
I know there's like, seems like there's a lot of people that in this, in kind of a LeBron-ish effect where they just are Sidney Crosby fans, and like by proxy are Penguins fans.
Yeah. Yep.
He was the same draft as Ovechkin, right?
Like that, it was like him, Ovechkin. I think Ovechkin might have been the year before, or maybe it was the same year.
I think it was the same year.
It might have been the same year. Might have been like 1-2.
I could be tripping. I remember seeing like some random news story when I was a kid about it. It was like, oh yeah, the Caps. Don't worry, like the Caps got this good guy too, Ovechkin. Like it would have been cool if we got Crosby, but
maybe it was different years.
Maybe it was like highlighting the young talent in the NHL or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Ovechkin was the year before.
Yeah, that's what I thought originally.
Yeah, he got drafted with – it was Ovechkin, then it was Malkin. And then the year after, it was Crosby and then Bobby Ryan.
Not terrible.
Not terrible, yeah.
I stand corrected.
But I'm curious, Gio, like Cape Cod, being a Bruins fan – like, how does that work? Like, it's got to be a pain in the ass to go to Bruins games as like a kid. Like, I know, I mean, yes, it's in Massachusetts, Cape Cod, but like, I don't know. I would just, you know, comparison, I guess, like Fire Island would be similar. Like Fire Island off the coast of Long Island. Like, you got to take a freaking ferry to get there. Like, it must have felt kind of separated, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in the city growing up, actually, even though my mom is from the city and has like a crazy Boston accent. Still can't, I still can't understand a word she's saying, but, we always watched and I mean, if we were going up to Boston, it was probably for the Museum of Science, in like grade school. But I will say I was really fortunate in that my aunt was dating this really big hockey guy, and he just I think he played in college or whatever, knew a bunch of these people. So every time I saw him, I would just get like assigned something. So like one year he just came over and gave me like a signed Pavel Bure jersey.
Nice.
And,
sweet.
And then assigned like Alexei Kovalev stick.
Also sweet.
From when he, I think he was leading goal scorer in like, 2004 or something. So I just like, and then I have like a San Jose jersey from when
I remember Owen that.
Nolan, yeah. a San Jose Sharks jersey when Owen Nolan was on the team, with the entire team has signed it except for Owen Nolan. so like I wasn't going to a bunch of B's games, but I did go, like, I think when I was in college, because it was like the Lucic era. And I loved that. But yeah, I mean, like, there's not a whole lot to do on Cape, unless you're in the summer. So we would be like Bruins and someone else on the bog every winter, and we'd do that. Everyone would have their jerseys out. But I didn't go to Boston very often. So
yeah, I was about to say it's like almost 70, 80 miles away from you. I think it's like an hour and a half to get to the city on a good day.
Yeah. I mean, and I was commuting to when I was living in Boston, I was commuting home to work with my dad and come up when I was doing the wedding band stuff. But yeah.
it's not that far though. It's like an hour and a half, right?
Yeah,
it's a good, depending on traffic getting into the city, but yeah, I think I mapped it out. Like I was like, how far is it to TD Garden? Yeah, it's about an hour and a half.
Yeah. We went a lot. We did see the Celtics a bunch, and like, obviously, like being in Massachusetts, we're like so blessed with like amazing teams all the fucking time. Like one out of the three, one of them is doing well. Like it's like the Pats were just so good for years and years. It wasn't even cool to like them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It was even cool to like them.
It just wasn't. It wasn't like, you know, it's like, oh, Ted Lasso, everyone's nice. Like, great. It's like, everyone's nice to each other. It's the same shit, you know? who gives
this
a shit?
This is a Boston sports.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, there's got to be a little gruff to it. But yeah, I don't know. I did have like a really, the Garden is like, is such a big staple in Boston. And I was fortunate enough to play it last year. And I remember I was able to like find the seats when we did go to a few like, you know, Celtics games, and it was like, holy shit. Like the Garden is like such a big part of Boston.
That's so sick.
So I wasn't like, I definitely wasn't close to the city, but like, you know, you could definitely feel it. Like even if you're in like, again, on fucking Cape Cod with the Cape Cod hardcore kids. So
yeah.
Yeah. I feel like in my mind, I just picture like snowy winter Cape Cod where like, there's this like local tavern where all the people from Cape Cod come and watch the bees.
Like, have you guys been to Cape Cod before?
The Falmouth Tavern, dude.
I've not been to Cape Cod. Like, I know that people from upstate New York do like Cape Cod, but growing up on Long Island, like, we basically were on Cape Cod. Like,
yeah, pretty much.
We would just go to Fire Island, which is way closer, or go out to Montauk, which is way closer than going to Cape Cod. So, like, I didn't really know people that vacation there, but like upstate New York, like my wife went to Cape Cod like every summer.
Everyone's got an aunt there, uncle. Hey, my uncle's got a spot in Chatham. You know, no longer with us because he was eaten by a shark, but you know, like, it's, you know, everyone's like, everyone's got an aunt, uncle, grandparent, something. It's definitely a strange place to grow up, but it was awesome in its own way.
Kind of, what about low key kind of hick vibes? Not gonna lie though.
Oh, right? Definitely, baby. You kidding me? The first time, so Zach's from Virginia, as he stated. When you think of Virginia, you think of a type of lifestyle, you know?
a down-home Old Dominion lifestyle.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
from Florida, man. I think we're a little bit more southern.
Oh,
definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. But the first day Zach came and visited me, I like, you know, got him at the airport or whatever. And he was like, hey, like, what are we doing tonight? And I was like, oh, I'm going to bring you to a demolition derby. In which I know everyone, and I'll be operating machinery to get the broken cars out. So it's like this, it's definitely not, like, the locals have a very different life than like, oh, I'm just going to go down to the country club and take my little dog on a walk.
Yeah. A big thing I realized that there was no chain restaurants on Cape. Like Gio had never, and so the first time he came to visit me in Virginia, it was like, oh dude, you got to go to Chipotle. We got to go to Five Guys. Like, these are really good, right? Like, that was, I just grew up in like the heat of suburbia. Just like, dude, Five Guys, like, pretty fucking good, right? Is this not the best?
Go to Cookout.
Yeah.
Red Lobster, baby.
Like, pretty much could not have had any different upbringings, and also a totally, totally opposite of probably what everybody would have thought. Like, Cape Cod, I mean, is beautiful in the summer and plenty of it's awesome, but yeah. The ritzy thing I thought it was.
Did you fly into Logan or did you fly into Cape Cod?
You flew into Logan.
It's Logan.
So you flew into the city and then you just drove all the way down three.
Well. Listen, if you're going to go the three, you may as well turn back around. You want to take, 93 to 24 and then you want to take 495 down.
Okay, that's what it
is. Because you do not.
This is making me nostalgic.
And again, listen up. You don't want to be taking Sagamore in the summer. Absolutely not. You want to be taking Board Bridge in the summer.
Yeah, this is a huge missed opportunity that you didn't say "kid" after all those with your Boston boys.
Yeah, I'm trying my best.
Trying to get it out of him.
Yeah.
He's burying it.
I had a question. Like, did you go to your first like punk and rock show when you were in college then? Because I'm assuming, like, you know, when we were probably going to shows when we were 15-16 first grinding it out, like, it was way easier to go to shows than someone that grew up on Cape Cod. Like, I'm assuming that there's not a lot of like punk shows on Cape Cod.
Cape Cod had their own hardcore scene.
It did.
There was literally Cape Cod hardcore.
Dude, I saw some of the best shows of my life on Cape. It's insane. There was so little to do that everyone was in like a really fucking awesome punk band, and everyone always went out to the shows. So like, I mean, obviously there were like if we were going to real shows, we were going to Boston, like one of the
or most Worcester, New Bedford.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Jesus, being like 16 and going to Worcester, kid.
Worcester?
That's not a good time. But, but I mean, like, I remember seeing A Loss for Words right after they released, Kids
Sanctuary.
Can't Lose.
Okay, Kids Can't Lose was like 2006,
2007. Oh, yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
A literal child.
A literal child, yeah.
And I remember seeing them in a basement of a church in Hyannis, and it was insane. It was awesome. Like, we did have like some sort of crazy like little nucleus of great punk music. I remember playing my band opened for Transit for one of their album releases. This was way before.
And this happened on Cape, like on Cape Cod.
Happened on Cape. I swear to God.
That's sweet.
We went to that there was some venue that we saw a show at, I think, on Cape. And the band that was like pretty good, but was only notable because they like threw their shit around a bunch.
Oh, Lions. Yes, yeah, he's got a Lions flyer right behind him, Mikey, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, no, that's Fireworks.
No, what's the one next to it? Is that Lions?
Oh, it's As Tall as Lions.
Oh, never mind. I was going to say, if you know Lions, that's a crazy.
I do know Lions. I saw them with Conditions. They were awesome.
That was that tour, dude.
We saw that tour.
Yep. That was that at that same venue. Yeah, Conditions was, because they're from Virginia, they were like, that was who I went to go see local shows. They played like, you know, when I was in high school. That was my favorite local band at the time. And
not
yeah, we
Gwar.
Went to see, what do you say? Not Gwar.
Not Gwar.
No.
Not Gwar.
Is Gwar also from Richmond?
Gwar 100% is from Richmond, and they have a Gwar bar in downtown Richmond that I always go to when we go.
Amazing! Oh my god! Yeah, Richmond. I didn't grow up anywhere close to Richmond, but yeah, Conditions was from Richmond. Gwar apparently was Municipal Waste. The Richmond has like some. There's actually some.
You're from Northern Virginia, right? So like, yeah, like Fairfax or.
Yeah, I'm from Loudoun, but which is just right next to Fairfax. But a lot of shows that I went to growing up were at the Sterling Community Center, which like a ton of people like there's I'm trying to think of who I saw there. Like I saw We the Kings there. I saw Metro Station there. This is like a literal shitty gymnasium that like somebody would just put a like a, you know, a built like there was a stage, but it was, you know, it was some random thing that somebody rented or something, and they would put on shows and have like, you know, 12 locals do pay to play to play it, and then have like a, and I was one of those locals as like a 14-year-old plenty of times. And yeah, saw Conditions there, Just Surrender. I'm trying to think, there were so many good ones. There's a bunch Surrender that I missed. There's a ton. Prada played there. I missed that. There's this band you may know that's like a weirdly in that scene. It was like, because also All Time Low was from Maryland, you know, like pretty much right there. So it was that kind of same thing. And it was right on the heels of All Time Low, like a million bands just trying to be All Time Low. Specifically, this band at the Downtown Fiction, if you remember them. These are like a bunch of bands that like signed to a major label in like 2009 on like huge hype and then put out like a major label debut that no one cared about and then got dropped and were never to be heard of again. Friday Night Boys. Do you remember them? Is that ring a bell?
No, but I see For the Fallen Dreams played there.
I'm trying to think.
2007, they played with Solidarity and By Autumn's End. That was a heavy show.
Wow. Yeah. There was some heavy shit. For the Fallen Dreams. I haven't thought about them in a minute. Yeah, there was Valencia, saw them there. That was the first show I moshed to. Yeah, Valencia was sick.
Going on in my head.
That's Valencia.
That is Valencia.
Yeah, Valencia was tight. How did we get on this tangent?
I don't know.
We're talking about
I have
Virginia
a funny
shows.
Just Surrender story.
What's Please. That?
So Tom and I went to the last Randall's Island Warp Tour, which is like right outside of New York City. And it must have been the summer before college. And we're in the parking lot, and there not a lot of people drove to the Randall's Island Warped Tour, so there's like a very small parking lot. And Steve, the drummer of Just Surrender, like saw us like tailgating, and like just came over and like started crushing beers with us. And he's like, "Hey, I'm in this like band. Like, we're about to release some new music," and it was Just Surrender.
That's sick.
Yep.
I love that
story.
I played a show with this was on Cape Cod. I played a show with Just Surrender, Ice Nine Kills.
Sweet. Oh my God.
And I wasn't lost for words. It was someone so stupid. I'll never remember. But anyway.
Geo played in
such
a top
gold.
Punk
it
band
was
in
such gold.
Oh, that's dude. Love
such
gold.
Gold.
Yep.
Geo's high school band was called Sunday's Best. Actually pretty dope. I don't know if that rings a bell for anybody, but
absolutely not. Shouldn't.
Absolutely
yeah. Shouldn't ring
not.
A bell. Yeah. Shouldn't ring a bell. Definitely not.
So did you
I don't
guys
know,
go
man.
To Berkeley? I'm just curious because okay. Our good friend, he's older than you, but Brian from Envy on the Coast, he went to Berkeley.
Okay.
And I know that there's a few others from this scene that went to Berkeley as well.
Dirty music school kids, dude.
I think everyone in Belmont went to Berkeley. They were a couple years younger than us though.
They did.
I think that's cool. Dillinger's key.
And I need to comment, like doing wedding band as a college gig, like genius. That's
it was
so
awesome.
Smart. Like
yeah.
You actually were probably making good money and like probably the richest college kids ever.
Well, I wouldn't consider myself having been making a lot of money, at least in the early days. I was making, I remember
compared to other college kids though.
By the time I joined,
definitely. I was working at Brookstone and I was also working at like with the wedding band, and I started it with our friend Colin, and there were like months and months where I was making like 15, 20 bucks a gig, going to like shit bars in like New Bedford and like crazy place like Cranston, Rhode Island, like really sad shit. But then we got to a place where I could pay rent to live in the same room as this fucking kid.
Yeah, Gio and I shared the same room. That's not much larger than the room I'm currently in for 3 years. Which is, but that was the price we paid to live on campus in Boston, which was honestly worth it. It was kind of like
we're paying what, $666, I believe.
Yes, yes.
Oh, you'll never forget that
days.
Amount. Jeez,
no, definitely not.
666, just 666 across the board.
Yeah,
yes, I get money orders at a 7-Eleven to pay rent for $660.
Yeah, it was a good gig. By the time I joined, it was already at the point that like they were, because they played weddings, and we call it a wedding band, but we only played weddings on Saturdays. But there was a consistent gig. Our buddy Colin, who still does it professionally, and he like manages multiple bands in Boston, and is like he just started a New York band. Oh, Gio, I didn't even tell you this. His New York band that he's making is doing my sister's wedding in the fall, awesome. Which is crazy. Awesome. But I think he's like expanding. He's like a whole wedding band empire, but it began with the one that we played in called Groovin' You, which is still doing it. It's still killing it and playing a bunch of people's weddings. And I think they only do weddings now, but at the time it was, we did a club gig, and by club, it was just a Boston bar Thursday, Friday, wedding Saturday, and then the same place every Sunday night. And then one summer we played in Cape Cod at the Beach House 10-1. On a Monday night for a bunch of locals. So we had 5 nights in a row of playing music for 4 hours a night. So anytime anyone's like, "Oh yeah, this like this is such a grind," I'm like, "Dude, this is easy." Like, I mean, you're playing, you know, the same Katy Perry song on a loop. It's the same riff the entire time or something. So it was a lot easier than like, you know, headbanging, playing like technical metal or something. But even still, we're playing 3 sets a night, going hard. It made me such a better player though. I like if anybody can do that, I don't recommend somebody try to do it as a career unless you're like in the top echelon, because it's still like, we still have friends that are like, it's good, the money's good enough that it's hard to escape. Mm-hmm. But like once you hit the ceiling, there's not really a way to move up, and it's like still people doing like gigs for $100 and
What kind of weddings are you guys going to? Like every wedding.
Not weddings. This is like.
Oh, I was going to say.
Oh no! Every wedding we crushed it.
We
got paid properly for the weddings, but it's more like all the other gigs. They call it GB. You're in a GB band, a general business band, which was a totally new. So you're like, if you're like, quote, doing GB, you're like in the circuit of, it's weird. And it's also not like that in LA. It's only like that in Boston, but, or at least I think maybe Northeast is more like that too, but it also seemed like in Boston, there was I loved going to college there, but it felt like it always had an expiration date. Like the people that hung around are not doing music the way that all of us are now. They're not really pursuing their original careers, or they're playing with a bigger artist or somebody. Like, remember at the time there was like a GB person who was like, oh yeah, like he's Meghan Trainor's keys player. And we were like, holy shit, like he's such a big shot. And then now we have friend, like my best friend is Paramore's guitar player. And I'm just like, oh, that's just normal for me now. It shouldn't be, but it just is. And it's just like, it's weird. But yeah. But all that to say, if you can, be in a wedding band in college. It's great money.
Yeah. Be in a wedding band, period, or just a cover band, because they will pay you very well in certain places to just rip a fucking Aerosmith cover.
Yeah, I miss it, honestly. I don't miss it being the only thing that I did musically because it was so time consuming that like you do 5 gigs in a row, it's like you need a day off or two, you know, and then you do it again.
2 hour gigs.
Oh, dude. I mean, we would take 2 breaks, but we'd play 3 hour long sets a night, and then it was brutal. It was fun as hell, but it definitely. I do miss just being that good at guitar, though, and having like 200 songs in my head that I could just pull out at any point and play perfectly, which I definitely can't do anymore. If someone was like, hey, play this Ed Sheeran song if your life depended on it, like I would die immediately. That has left my brain.
You shouldn't be playing Ed Sheeran. Anyways.
But you tell me to make a pop punk rendition of a Taylor Swift song, I'll pull my guitar out and just start playing something real quick. Because it's just I can do it.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of cover bands, and to bring it full circle, did you know that one of the dudes from Conditions is in like a emo cover band, and I think they're called Throwing Back Sunday?
No.
Oh, is it Alex?
No, is it Alex? Alex is like big time. Alex is like playing with Jelly Roll and shit.
Oh yeah. So okay, I was wondering if it was the same person.
Throwing Back Sunday.
What's it called again?
Throwing Back Sunday.
Oh, wait. Oh, shit.
I think it was the drummer. Maybe Ryan?
Maybe, that's the one. Oh, so you guys definitely know Conditions then.
Oh, yeah. I fuck with
you're on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Which member? Just all of them?
No, Alex. Oh, actually, we had Alex and Ryan. Shit. We've been doing this too long. Alex is like...
Oh yeah,
Alex might have been guest like 20. Like he was early on in our show.
Yeah, man. I have said embarrassing, punishing things to him when I was in high school about how much their music has meant to me and etc.
Well, college too. I was there.
Oh, college too. Oh yeah.
I was there in Worcester.
Oh yeah, that's right. Too. I had I had to do like a video interview of somebody for like some college project, like a your take on artistry or something. And we went, Gio and I went to their, oh my God, wow, you're pulling an insane memory out of me right now. We went to their show
and this is
like before an iPhone, and I brought a full digital camera and had Gio, who's never used a camera in his life prior to this moment, film us outside the Worcester Palladium upstairs and be like, oh, so like, do you guys use auto-tune on your recordings? Or just asking like the shittiest questions, I'm sure. And and it's in some Berkeley professor's trash folder on their computer somewhere right now.
How is the reaction of Fool of War in comparison to Fluorescent Youth?
Is the tour going well? That was like the era of the YouTube videos where it'd be like somebody trying to get into interviews and they just are having the absolute worst interview ever with like Craig Owens or somebody. He's like, oh, it's like clearly like such a fan, like, oh, hey, Craig. Yeah, I just wanted to ask if the tour was going well. And they have the little like lav mic that they like hold up, you know, it's way too close.
Like on their shirt still and are just...
Yeah. And then Craig takes it and it's like immediately like, oh, the tour's going well, which is immediately like so blown out. Yeah.
Is that what you think of Bar Down Breakdown?
No. You guys are as professional as they come.
As professional as they come.
Fuck yeah.
That is the new bio for Bar Down Breakdown. As professional as they come.
Oh no, dude, are you kidding me? If someone in the world wants to come up and be like, hey Zach, I have my digital camera. I really appreciate you coming to Yuma, Arizona. I just wanted to ask you, how's the tour going? Oh, that would make me so happy. I would be thrilled if somebody did that.
I would eat that up in a heartbeat.
It'd also be like a 4-hour conversation. So, or Zach would be talking for 4 hours.
Oh yeah, like I said, if I start going, it's just not going to stop.
I
have to be like, hey Gio, actually, I feel like I've been talking for way too long. Gio, why don't you pick it up from here?
Well, we have been talking for way too long though, but that's a good thing. And also, I would love that. Like, I would love just to have some college kid come up to me in Hartford, Connecticut, mm-hmm. and just talk to me about anything. And just like in that same voice, because I have the worst poker face, because I would literally be like this, like, come on, get it out. Oh, yeah, I'm going to finish that question for you. It's going great. It's day one.
No, we have been goofing, obviously, but we are very grateful that anyone wants to talk to us about the band. It's very or sick anything. Or anything. And we really appreciate you guys, you know, for having us on. This was very fun.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And I guess that's a perfect segue to, I guess, what you guys have planned for the rest of the year. You know, any shows or festivals this summer that you guys are eyeing and hoping to get on, or are you guys just going to hunker down, do some writing? What do you think the rest of 23 is going to look like for you guys?
Well, I'm about to begin my sad era because Gio and Ivan are about to leave in a couple days to they tour with the band Muna. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they are doing really cool big shit and are going to be on tour for 2 months. So in that period of time, I'll probably be making demos and trying to book stuff. And I think we will definitely, like us, I don't know if we were recording when I said this earlier, but we're going to try to hit all of the U.S. within now and a year from now. That is, keyword is try. Let's see what we can make happen, but do some DIY touring. Definitely lots more singles. Got another one coming out in May and probably another one immediately after, and another one immediately after. We got 4 more in the chamber that are like pretty much ready to go. Just got to, you know, do all of the release details to get them mastered, that type of thing, and just keep that rolling. And that's what's on the books for right now. I would say if you live in the US, we're probably coming to your city sometime, hopefully very soon. So yeah.
Hell yeah.
Anything to add, Georgie?
No, I mean, I'm excited to get these songs out. They're definitely been as a player, as a just all around creative. They're these new ones that are really amazing, and I'm super proud of them. And
likewise,
it's nice to feel like everyone is stretching and I don't know, just having a good time. I'm really proud of the stuff that's coming out. There's some really fucking heavy shit that's coming out, which is amazing.
Nice. Oh yeah.
And then there's the complete opposite. So yeah, I don't know. Keep your ears open.
And are you guys going to shop these out to any labels or anything like that? Or at this point, you're just like, you know what? We do pretty much everything ourselves anyway. Might as well just keep it in house.
We're pretty much open to whatever. I would say if the right release partner came along, or, you know, I do a lot of the business stuff for the band, and I'm you know, I've kind of always got gears turning in those departments, but it's definitely been easy the way that we've been doing it so far, and it's been effective enough. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to level up if we can, but yeah, at the moment, the next one's coming out. We have a distro that we use that is called Controlla. There's a couple other people that are on it. That's been really good for us. And so that brings like a lot of label services with it. That's really cool. But yeah, if something comes along, we'll definitely be open to that for sure.
I feel like that's something that a lot of these smaller bands who are starting out don't necessarily know of. And I've been trying to feed them these distro companies, not necessarily labels, but they kind of operate as labels or under labels. Look into this stuff, like, especially if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, oh, how do I, like, you know, build out my Spotify, or how do I, you know, get on these algorithmic playlists, etc. One, like, you can always build up your fan base through like social media and everything else, but also like a lot of like the secret sauce is, you know, utilizing these sites or distro sites or distro services to get your music out there, because they'll actually push to get it on, you know, an editorial playlist or some algorithmic playlist, because they have a little bit more stake in kind of like what's going on with the songs too.
Yeah. I mean, I could do an entire podcast about all that kind of stuff, but yeah, I would definitely agree. Look into it. I mean, with Controlla, the thing that's really nice is they have somebody that they've hired that does PR, which would be a huge cost. And I know them because the person that we hired to do, some marketing on our first album, this guy Anthony, it's his company. And as I don't want to get it to like too much into our deal and whatever, I don't know what he offers other people, but it basically works out that like through this we can do digital ad spend, and the ad spend is just the cost that we pay to like literally put into the ads, which anybody can do, but if you don't know what you're doing with that, like, don't, because you'll waste money. And this is actually, so they actually know what they're doing, and they have a PR thing, and we have, you know, on paper, we have an added pitch for editorial playlists, but that whole game has changed a lot and is very different than it was. And one of my friends says it is possibly not even run by a person anymore. So, yeah. Nope. Yeah. Other than like New Music Friday, I think it's actually all algorithmic now. So who knows? Who knows? The game is ever changing, and I'm just trying to stay up on it. But yeah. But to your point, yes, it's definitely worth looking into.
Cool.
Well, guys, it was definitely a blast, and you know, super excited for this possible U.S. run and hitting some of these cities that might be a little bit closer to Justin and myself. And I know you mentioned we got at least one more single on this string of songs coming out pretty soon.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We'll be looking forward to that. And if you have not checked out their videos are great. And definitely go check out their Spotify and, you know, all their socials to stay in the loop. I know you guys are crushing the TikTok game too. You guys are there doing your thing. So go in and give Good Terms a follow. And, like I said, we appreciate you guys hanging with us, and G Bones, hopefully,
they'll let you master something.
Yeah. Well, no, hopefully the Bruins don't get that President's Cup curse. Yeah.
Fuck that curse, dude.
Yeah. I think the Caps don't look like they have any chance for the playoffs.
They're not even going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they were officially eliminated.
But yeah,
I'll be joining Gio on that then.
Well, once again, guys, if you like bands like Korn, Fall Out Boy, Alkaline Trio, don't forget
about your band and our band or whatever.
Oh, new band and our band.
New bands.
Oh, yeah.
New bands.
Yeah, hey.
No. Yeah, our band and new band.
Watch this. It's going to refresh tomorrow, and it's going to be back to normal. That's so funny.
No, I'm going to leave this page up so it doesn't refresh.
Awesome.
Thank you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you later. See ya.
See ya.